Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here, and we have such wonderful words this morning, Lord. I'm just so excited about them that I just pray that you would be with us and help us, Lord, as we prepare ourselves. We know that we're preparing, and Lord, we can just look at the things that you have shown to us, and it shows that we are learning, Lord, from your prophet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you may be seated. Now this morning, I'm going to start a mini-series for about 5 sermons on our attitude with Christ. And before we begin our message this morning on the attitude of Christ, I would like to say that I've enjoyed putting together this study tremendously. Over the past several years, I have seen our ability to look into the living Word of God and see that it becomes more crystal clear than ever before. Now, not only is it becoming clear to us, but hopefully, we're coming here and we're finding that our prayer is also more efficacious than it ever has been before. I don't know if I shared this with you. I might have on the app, but there was a hurricane headed toward the Philippines, and I got an urgent request from a brother in the Philippines, and he was at level 5, so they call it a typhoon over there. And so I said, look, brother, we just can't help you financially, but we can help you with prayer. And so I sent it to Brother Sam. I said, send out a message to everybody. He sent out a message to 88 believers on the list. If you're not on the list and you'd like to be on the list, then let me know. And because it's our prayer list that goes around the world. And so he sent it out and we all prayed. And wouldn't you know, it curved and it avoided their whole area. So it's just another time, you know, that we've done this. And not that we have done, God has done. But God has answered our prayer. And I think that's tremendous. And I want to thank you all for that. So the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. And what I am seeing is a honing in more and more. Things are becoming clear more than ever before. As soon as the unbeliever raises the question, the word which is living and abiding in her heart has the answer to their unbelief. Now, in Hebrews 4, we read, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing to the joint and marrow of the bone. Now, think about that word. It's dividing. It's rightly dividing. It's rightly dividing. It's God dividing. Okay, it's rightly dividing. And so this shows that when you're rightly dividing the word and a sharp division, that means that the word is living in you, as well as, of course, we received it from our prophet. And we have been giving a looking glass of the word, which is able to microscopically see things in this word that others have passed over throughout the ages and never even dreamt of understanding. Now, that puts you in a class all to yourself, all right? I'm not saying that to brag about, you know, our mental ability. I'm talking about the revelation which God's prophet had brought to us, and we now understand, okay? Man that is not born again, he resides in the 5 outer senses of the body, and with those 5 senses of see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, they have been able to move closer and closer into the unseen, even to the place of dissecting atoms. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved or proven are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we can see that man's great strides in science have only become possible by his ability to use light in new ways. And now man has come to the place where they can see with their eyes through electronic microscopes what is called inner space, as they have perfected their use of the light with those microscopes. They are able to see clearer and clearer, like our pictures have become clearer and clearer. Now remember the JPEG? Y'all remember the JPEG? You had these camera, little cameras, and you could take a JPEG, and it was, what was it, maybe one or two. I think they got up to about 3 megabytes. And now your cell phones have 48 megabytes on the camera. You think, now when you go from 3 megabytes to 40 megabytes, you can blow that picture up really big, and the definition and the clarity is really, really good. Okay, so the more it's gone from, like I said, from a JPEG to your iPhones, you got 48 megapixels, and you can blow the whole thing up quite large. So they have discovered with ultra-powerful microscopes that there is a far greater universe within the atom. That there is, and it's far greater than there is in what we have called the universe out there, okay? Where we see the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, okay? And greater universe, a far greater universe lies within that which has been unseen and thus hidden from age to age, and is now being made visible or manifested by the light. So in the natural, we're seeing what we're seeing in the spiritual, okay? My brother-in-law, who has a PhD in nuclear physics, which means that none of us could probably talk to him. Actually, he's a pretty good guy, but he worked as third in command of a nuclear submarine. And after retiring from the Navy, he worked in a think tank and worked on bending light rays and other Department of Defense type weaponry. Now, bending light rays was thought of as impossible until just recently, okay? Now, men through science, through understanding how to utilize the natural principles of light, are able to see more clearly those things which have been hidden from age to age. And through light, they are utilizing what they have been given in the natural sciences to look at the unseen with instruments that are becoming more powerful as years go on. Now, when I was in college, we used computers that held information on magnetic tape. Then a few years later, and I remember punching in, you know, we actually had to punch in the cards and then feed it into the magnetic tape, and then it recorded it for us. So that was storage. And so, you know, you take a 150 or 200. Well, if you did a survey, so you had 1,000 people on the survey, you punched in 1,000 cards, then you fed it in, and it registered on magnetic tape, which just went around and around and around. Then a few later, I worked at Magnetic Peripheral, which was a division of Control Data. When I began at CDC, I worked on buying the discs and then sourcing them to a company that could put a substrate on them that was magnetically charged. Now, this replaced the magnetic tape. Now you had a magnetic disc. During my 2.5 years there, I was able to get subcontractors to refine the substance so that the 34-inch disc could be replaced by 14-inch discs. Then within about a year, we were able to get the same amount of information onto a disc that was only 8 inches on a metal disc. And of course we refined the lapping process to make the disc flatter and all that. Then about 6 months later, we refined it even more and more and came out with a 2.5-inch disc, and they haven't been able to go any smaller since then. And then I moved to Indiana to get closer to Brother Vail. Now in the past 20 years or so, they have gone from magnetic storage to digital. Now, you can store on a jump drive trillions of bytes. What a computer back in the 60s was that was 3 stories tall could do can now be computed on a single chip smaller than your pinky finger. And everything has sped up as well. The first computers we put out at NCR Personal Computer Division were 1 to 10K kilohertz, which means 1 to 10,000 hertz. Well, you know, a million hertz, a megabyte, is 1,000 times a kilobyte. So we went from 1,000 bytes to 1 million bytes, and now they're into 1 tetra, okay? So they're into 1 billion bytes. Our storage capacity was at first on floppy disk drives and could hold up to 330 bytes. Later, we added a hard drive that could store up data in the range of 1.2 megabytes. Now, you're probably thinking, all right, so what does that have to do with the gospel? What I'm showing you in the natural, if the natural mind can do these things, what about the spiritual mind? Things that you understood that you could rightly divide 50 years. Well, anybody over here? Yeah, there's a few of us over 50. So things that you could do 40 to 50 years ago that you could rightly divide, which is very, very few, you today are rightly dividing in the, what we want to call, trillion bytes. Okay, let me just explain to you. Now it is common to get a desktop computer with flash storage of 500 megabytes and up to 1 terabyte, plus a 1 terabyte magnetic disk. So you have on the computer, built in, 1 terabyte of magnetic, 1 terabyte on the little chip, and then 1 terabyte on the magnetic disk. So now you have 2 terabytes. That's more than the first computers that were 3 stories high did. I walked through those as a child. We went to, my dad worked there, and he was a contracts manager. And so we went to a company picnic, I guess, or show and tell, what they call it. And we got to walk. They had big tunnels that they brought water in from the Minnesota River to keep the thing cool. We could walk through those tunnels. They were 8 feet around. All right? Everything was not on a little chip. Everything was on a test tube. You know, these long tubes, you ever see them, long tubes? They're about that long, and they had all kinds of tubes, okay? Well, it's all, you can put all that information in a little chip the size of your pinky today. So as you can see, information processing has grown tremendously fast and holding large amounts of data during the past generation. Now, Brother Vail likened it to a cyclotron, where a record, is there anybody old enough to see, to have remembered a record player? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so we had 45s and we had, what was the small one? 78, okay. And as the needle on the record is going around the outer grooves, it's going, it looks like it's going very slow. But as it gets toward the inner grooves, it's going round, round, round. It's like a cyclotron, okay? As it gets to the center, it's going faster and faster and faster. So Brother Vail likened it to a cyclotron, where a record, as it gets closer to the center of the platter, it goes faster and faster, kind of like the revolution, the needle on the record player. As a record spins, it runs the grooves on the outside and spins at slower rate, so to speak, but it comes to the inside, it runs faster and faster. It appears faster and faster. This is described as a process the Bible speaks of revelation at the end time. We know that the Bible says at the end time, knowledge shall increase. And all we have to do is look at the fast pace in the evolution of computers to see that. We see in the Amplified version of 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "And all of us, as with the unveiled, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, we know that word glory is opinion, value, and judgment of God. So we are ever increasing in the opinions of God, in the values of God, from glory to glory. See? Now, so the Bible says we are to be changed from glory to glory with ever increasing glory. And of course, we know this word glory is the Greek word doxa. It's opinion, value, and judgment of God. So it is to speed up. That is what the NIV translation also tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So, Brother Vail said from his sermon, "Who is this Melchizedek?" It's called discipline, working out of glory. He said, now listen, But we all with an open face, as in a glass, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, how are you getting that glory? You are getting that glory by the outworking of the Word of God in you. In other words, the Word comes in and it works itself through you, okay? And me. As we become submissive to the Word against our own thinking and against our own human, our own will as human beings. And it's an increasing glory. And this is the age it's going to be in. And we're the last people are going to have an opportunity except for the 144,000 Jews. Remember, overnight almost they received the gospel. And overnight, within the short period of time, they will come up to where you are. They will understand what you understand. So it looks like we are approaching this ever-increasing glory and are in fact up into it like being caught up into a whirlwind. A whirlwind sucks everything up and just, it spins around. So Brother Vail also said from the Omega of the Alpha, from his sermons on Shalom. Now listen, can there be a godly fear and a righteous thought outside of the revealed word? No. This is what I keep talking about, the Omega reflection, the cyclotron of the hour. And then he said, and how many remember the Omega reflection? I've taught it here quite often. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it speaks of being transformed from glory to glory, from image to image. So if you stand in front of a mirror and turn all the lights off, go in your bathroom sometime, try it, just turn all the lights off and look at your image. You don't see anything. There's no light. So what are you seeing then when you open the door a crack and you let a little light in? You see the tip of your nose, maybe your forehead, maybe you have a white shirt or blouse on, you can see that. Open up, more light come in from the hallway, and what do you see? You're seeing your image, okay? So what you're looking at is in the Word of God, in the mirror of the Word, which is the Word of God, you're being transformed into God's very thinking, his opinions, his values, okay? So this transformation process is taking place, but what you are seeing then when you stand in front of the mirror is you're seeing light. You're seeing light. So when you stand before the mirror of the Word and you look in front of the mirror of the Word, excuse me, I got two books here. Okay. And you're standing, looking in the mirror of the Word, what are you seeing? Light. Light. You are becoming light. The Holy Ghost comes in like a button, about the size of a button, little dinky thing. And as it grows, word upon word upon word, it takes over your entire being. You are being transformed into the image where Christ could walk through walls. All right? And then he said, the minute there's a confusion, you block off the cyclotron effect of God. Take the needle off the record. It's done. You blocked off the cyclotron. So as long as you keep your eyes on the Word, you're changing, okay? Again, he said in his sermon, Livel, from who is this Melchizedek, peace to the righteous. Now, in this great, tremendous channel, Lord, that you have given us, flowing from you to the prophet, notice, from the Lord to the prophet, and to us, and then back to God again, until it becomes a veritable cyclotron agitating the very atoms in our bodies to a complete change. Father, we know that what radiation in the world can do, the wrong radiation, it can take genes and bring little babies forth crippled, deadly. What it did over there in Japan, a terrible thing, a mutation. That is vile and disgusting. But Lord, in your cyclotron, your changing of the atoms, going right back, Lord, to an eternity and having a dress for eternity and having a body in the resurrection to match it. Now think of that. Man in his abilities has created a means whereby they can mutate and change a man in his body from a mortal to a mutation. But the revelation of God in us can make us into a glorified, or can make us glorified in our bodies. That is what the endoxazo of God is all about. The word en meaning in, doxa meaning the opinion, vows, and judgment of God, and zoe meaning manifested in our life. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, when we shall come to be glorified, that word is endoxazo, in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe, because our, Paul's testimony among you was believed in that day. So we see that we are in the day when his doxa is in the saints. And how do we know that we are in that day? He said, in all of them that believe, because our testimony, that's Paul's testimony, among you was believed in that day. And Brother Branham said, I am only saying what Paul said. So you see, we are in that day. But to think that the men of this world have shown us the natural, that they can change the body, but they can only mutate it. I mean, even doctors today making boys into girls by, you know, cutting off parts of their body. But God's word is changing us to the positive and back to what he thought before the foundations of the world. Back to glory. So men are just looking with the natural eye. They are doing this with just the 5 outer senses. Then what about us who have been given such illumination that goes beyond these outer senses? We have been given access to the light of his glorious presence and have been given an ability to know and understand the 5 inner senses of imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. These are the invisible senses of the Spirit. And then we have also come to understand that inner sense called faith. For by faith, which is revelation, we can see into the unseen. And to think that with just the outer 5 senses, which were given to man to control his earthly home, man has been able to move closer and closer into the unseen, dissecting atoms and even changing weather or changing nature. You know, they have a treaty in the UN back in 1950s that we couldn't use our abilities to change weather as a weapon, and yet they've done it in Vietnam and every place else. And now have come to the place of what is called inner space and have discovered that there is a far greater universe within the atom than there is in the whole universe that we can now see through telescopes. Then what about us? We are standing in the very presence of the creator of the universe himself. He is the supreme light of lights and has given each one of us his light in us. Then what kind of sight ought we to have as we grow in wisdom and revelation and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Then how ought we to be seeing clearer and clearer the things of God? And he has willingly brought this understanding to us through a vindicated prophet, and by his own personal presence with us in the form of the pillar of light. Remember, God came down with a shout. That's a message. All right? Things are becoming clearer and clearer as we come closer and closer to the source of that light, which is his glorious presence, the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, we ought to be able to see things that no man has ever seen before. Think of it. John Wesley never saw the things you're seeing. All right, Spurgeon never saw the things that you're seeing. Men through the ages, Luther never saw the things that you're seeing. The scripture tells us in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't comprehend, people. The men of this world don't comprehend what you're seeing. And we know that when that light strikes the dark places, it brings illumination to those places, and they manifest. In 1 Corinthians 1:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. You know, I thought it was interesting. I was reading in my study this morning from the NIV, and there's a scripture there. I forget where it's at, but I could get my Bible and show you. But he says he's going to make the intellect of the intelligent nothing. The intellect of the intelligence will be brought to nothing. All right? So your faith should stand in the wisdom of men, or should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So God is showing you what he doesn't show the president. Amen. Or all his cabinet. Okay? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the Apostle Peter told us that when that light strikes, it would illuminate the dark places and the hidden wisdom would be revealed. Now, in 2 Peter, we read 1:5 and 1:19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, how many of you, in the middle of the night, when the power goes out, throw off the covers and run out and see what's happening? Well, I'm sorry, but you kind of might throw off the covers, but you kind of tippy-toe out because you're not sure of your footing and stuff because you can't see. So what do? You turn on a light, a flashlight, and like Brother Brown said, there's a man who can turn on the light, right? And so that flashlight illuminates. Now you can see. Now you can walk, okay? And yet the world continues in darkness concerning its creator, who gave them their natural light because they have turned down the supernatural light of his glorious gospel. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, that's Laodicea, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it doesn't shine unto them, but it shines unto you. Now that puts you in a class, I won't say class because that's a bad word to use, but that puts you in a state of mind. As Brother Vail said, you know, our state is that we're sons of God. And it puts us in a place where God is showing us things he doesn't show the world, okay? So has the light of the glorious gospel shown in our hearts. And if it focuses light upon the word of God that lays within our hearts, and it reveals the deep secrets of God. Those things, now the scripture says, those things which have been hidden since the foundations of the world, but have been revealed to us in this hour by the presence of the great light, the pillar of fire, which is here in our midst. Now, Brother Branham said in his message, have faith in God. What's the matter with us Christians? We've laid down on our job. That's right. Science has taken men farther with his five senses than ministers has taken them with his soul, his spirit, which is superior over his science. I just like to ask you a question. Many of you brethren in here can go back with me to the old Model T age. Science could only... Now listen, just before I close, here's a remark I want you to remember. Science is only as good as it can measure. And speaking of your ability to measure, I would like to add that your Christian experience is only as good as you are able to rightly divide the word of truth. He caught it. Brother Bram says, as close as science can measure, that's how powerful they become. And as close as a church can measure, that's just as powerful as a church becomes. So the more you can rightly divide, the more powerful you're becoming as a Christian. And how does a church measure? By rightly dividing the word of truth. Now this is getting good. So science, about 35 years ago, could only measure to 10 thousandths of an inch. In that, they could make a Model T Ford with a 10 thousandths of an inch piston ring, which could give it terrific speed of about 25 miles per hour. Why? You say, why? Because the compression wasn't strong enough. Air got through and the gas got through the pistons and, you know, it just wasn't strong enough, right? So I, you know, on airplanes, you got, you know, Really tight specs, okay? Now, up above it, set a spark plug, a valve to pump the gas fired by the spark plug, but it lost so much of its compression as it went out with the 1/10th of an inch, you could only drive it at that. And 35 miles an hour was extremely fast, Model T Ford. Now, did they stop at that? No, sir. They can go down to 1/100th of an inch now. Now, this is back in the 60s. I'm sure it's even more than that now. They're cutting in their rule, measuring closer. Catch the word. Measuring closer. You're rightly dividing closer. You're seeing in a scripture, one word makes a difference between if you unbelieve it or disbelieve it or if you believe it, okay? They're cutting in their rule, measuring closer. Now, they can take the same Ford or that same piston into a jet and almost drive it 600 miles per hour with the same spark plug firing over the top of it. Why is it? They can measure closer, that nothing leaks out. The pressure's there, but your measurement wasn't close enough. You see, Luther wasn't close enough. He had a gap, 1/10th of an inch. Wesley had a gap, 1/10th of an inch. But now we have no gap, okay? They can't even take that 1/100th of an inch and split an atom with it. Are they stopping? No, they're going on. But us, oh, well, we're satisfied with what Moody said, what Finney said. Them men were all right. They were Christian brothers, that's in glory. Now, can you imagine if you could rightly divide the scripture in the same degree that man has been able to measure down to 1/100th of an inch? Just look where I'm talking about you and me, have come. I'm talking about the elect in this hour. Look at the way under the Holy Ghost teaching of this message that you are able to rightly divide the word as never has been seen since the foundation of the world, before history even. The Bible says it is a hidden wisdom that has been kept hidden from age to age and even hidden from the princes. For had they seen what you see, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, if they saw what you see, their actions would have been different. I mean, we are seeing things that never have been even entered into their minds. Look at how we have seen 86 signs and events of the parousia, and all of them but four have taken place. Look at how our prophet taught us what the shout, voice, and trump of God mean. Rightly dividing, shout, voice, and trump. Okay, now shout is the message. You got a whole deal on that. Now, the voice is the resurrection, and the trump is the change of the body. Look at all the parables he has revealed to us of their meaning in this last hour, about the 10 virgins, about the 10 pieces of silver, all those things. Look at water baptism, or how we've been taught to rightly divide between Father and Son. Look at twins, and how that we've been able to identify the attributes and characteristics of the true vine versus the false vine. That's why Matthew 24:24 says they'd be so close they would deceive the very elect if it was possible. It's not possible because you can rightly divide. You can see the error. Look how we have become aware of seed life and the source of each life and the attributes and characteristics of that life. That's why it can be so close, yet you won't be deceived. And what about our understanding of sovereignty? What about our being in God before the foundations of the world? Our prophet made us aware of all of these things. So Brother Branham says the first time the rule was ever made or laid across the Word of God, how do you measure it tonight? What value, that's doxa, you remember the value, it's the assessment value and judgment. What value has the Word of God got to you? You see, that's God's doxa. Now look, Christian, Martin Luther come out, laid it across Catholicism, and found out that the just shall live by faith. He left a great gap there. Many things passed through. But he believed that the just should live by faith. And he stepped out on it because God's word says so. He measured God's word out to the people. The just shall live by faith. Along came a little fellow from England by the name of John Wesley. He measured to the people a little closer. He cut the ruler in a little closer. Good measure closer, sanctification, as they called it in them days, the second work of grace. Look what he done. He introduced holiness to the church. I can tell you're getting into this. Along came Pentecost and measured down the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking with tongues and signs, but we're just letting the big gap through. Let us tonight lay the measure of God down and the measure of the whole Word of God. The same Holy Ghost that fired the piston back there that brought them out by faith, justification, the same one gave us sanctification. The same one gave the baptism of the Holy Ghost that same power. The same Holy Ghost can move the church to perfection, and it will do it. To everything that God has promised in His Word, God will do it. The trouble of it is, let's cast out the world. Let's measure God's Word, and it's the truth. Have faith in God, Jesus said, for if thou shalt say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt it, it'll do just what you tell it. Isn't that wonderful? Let's measure up. I don't care if the Lutherans are fine, the Baptists are fine, the Methodists are fine, the Pentecostals are fine. All these different things is all right, but let's put it right down and say every word of God is true. Everything God said is perfect. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, you will receive it. I believe that that's the truth. So God, let me lay my measuring stick down on my soul and spread it across God's word to say, God, it's the truth. Send the unction of the Holy Ghost and fire the cylinder above me. I'll believe every word of it, and you'll see things take place. Do you believe it? So in 1 John 2 and verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And remember, sin is unbelief. And if any man sin, we have an antidote, or excuse me, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He saith, I know, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his mind. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, we're talking about the attitude towards Christ. And in focusing on this attitude, it does not refer to the mind, but rather to our body's outward expression of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, which are displayed using body language of some sort. Now remember, Brother Branham's study on the threefold body, that we are a tripartite being. We have a body which has five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. With these senses, we contact our earthly home. Then in our spirit, we also have five inner senses, and I've mentioned those to you before. Now, spiritual amnesia, Brother Branham said, you must be identified somewhere. You must show, your life shows tonight, where you are identified. You are identified either in Christ or out of Christ. You are not halfway. There's no such a thing as a drunk, sober man. There's no black, white bird. You're either a saved or you're not saved. You're either a saint or a sinner, one or the other. and your sinner attitude towards God's word identifies you. Excuse me, your spiritual attitude towards God's word identifies you, exactly where you're standing. Now, what I would like to get across to you this morning is that our attitude is only a reflection of the condition of our soul. And the actions we do is only a reflection of that condition. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's being able to see our attitude and then be able to rightly divide by the scripture what is what. In other words, we must be taking inventory of our condition. And there has to be a measuring device to rightly divide the whole into segments or attributes. And that device is the word. In fact, Brother Branham said from the message, explaining healing in Jairus, he said, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he has called, he's justified. Is that right? Those who he has justified, he has, past tense, glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right, we'll find out whether it's deep or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Now, in what other time has man been able to tell you all about the script, all about that scripture? Not until this hour. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or here rather. What we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other bodies are waiting. Now, we can look at men in the Bible to see how that their attitude affected those around them. If we look at the first Exodus, we found that there were men in the camp of Israel that had a negative effect on others in the camp by their actions and things that they said. Look at Dathan and Korah and how they kept bringing up negative things all the time until it had an effect upon all those around them. And what did that produce? They all perished. Yes, their own attitude affected those around them until they all perished in the wilderness. From influence, he said, you know, there's so many of us, and most all of us, influence somebody by the things that we do and the way that we live and the things that we say. We influence somebody. Somebody is watching your life. Then when we profess to be Christians, what type of life should we live if somebody is watching us? And your life that you live will reflect and influence on somebody that might be their eternal destination, will rest upon the way that you live and the things that you do, for they watch you. So in other words, I read years ago to Brother Vail's church a quote where Brother Brown said that the attitude we take toward a person could determine their eternal destination. Because they're watching you. And our attitude is an expression of our emotions and our feelings and our thinking. It's what you do in your body language, okay? That's what they're seeing. That's what they are reading. And in our text this morning, as influence, we find that this King Uzziah was a great influence to Isaiah, the young prophet. Isaiah had been called to his side, and being a noted, a vindicated prophet of his day, he had, I believe, the way that Isaiah spoke it, he had a great influence upon Isaiah. And now we find that Uzziah was called to be a king at the age of about 16 years old after his father's death. And his father was a great believer, and his mother also was a very fine woman. And this young king had been crowned at a young age, and quickly he'd taken the road that was right because of the influence of a godly father and mother and godly mother. And I think that's a very fine example for we as parents, is to set an example before our children. Now, you'll live your best and your worst at home. And I think that of our lives. Though the children might not just exactly act like they're noticing it, but they are noticing it, don't you never think that they are not, because they are watching. All right. Not only the children are watching, but the neighbors are watching. Not only the neighbors are watching, but all that you are associated with watch you. The people at your church watch you. The people that you do business with in the markets, they're watching you after your confession. And we should always try to reflect Christ in everything that we do. I know a little motto that I had hanging in my house many years ago. I picked it up one day when at Billy Sunday's Tabernacle when I was at one of the meetings up in Winona Lake. And I liked it so much until I got it and hung it in my house. And I kept it until it just fell apart. It was something like this. Go no place you would not want to be found if Jesus should come. And be saying nothing that you would not want to be saying if Jesus should come. And it went on with many things saying that, in other words, whatever you do or say, or whatever action that you're performing, do not do it if you would not want to be caught in that position when Jesus comes. If we could only do that, I'm sure we'd be a great influence upon our associates. And you know, there's two ways to do anything that's right and wrong. I had my little son Joseph on my lap the other day, and I said to him, he's 8 years old, and some little boy had stepped on his toes, and he and the little boy had a fight. So I said, Joseph, don't you do that. He said, but Daddy, he did such and such. And I said, but that doesn't matter. See what he did. Just remember, Joseph, that you love your father. He said, yes, Daddy. I said, then remember, the people are going to look at your life as a minister's son. And then if you do anything wrong, then they're going to say, does this minister permit his child to do such? Now we know they do it anyhow. But we know that. As Christians, we know that they try to bring up our children right. But it's a good thing to keep that before them all the time, to do what's right. Don't never take that other side. So I said, because you see, that doesn't only reflect on you, Joseph. It reflects on your mother, reflects on your sisters, it reflects on your father and the very cause of the family that we're standing for. And then what we stand for, it reflects on that, on Jesus Christ. You don't want to do that. I said, now our Lord told us that if somebody smites us on one cheek, just turn the other. And of course, that kind of is hard for a little boy with a hot temper to begin with, to think of such things. But just place it before him anyhow, see, that he should not do it. Now this young fellow Uzziah had such a training in his early days, till when he'd taken the throne, he never turned right or left from the thing that was right. He stayed right with it. He never let politics influence him in any way. He was a man who was determined to serve God regardless, and so politics didn't, and he ignored all those things. And another thing that I liked about Uzziah was that he ignored popularity or the popular opinions. No matter what anybody else thought or what the popular trend of the day was, he wanted to serve God regardless. Oh, we need men like that in our political world. We need men like that in the White House. We need men like that in the business. We need men like that in the pulpit. Men that will not turn to popular opinions or popularity, but will stay straight with the word, not turn to the left, right or left. God, in commissioning Joshua, said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. And not only that, but you're influencing somebody the way you're traveling. And so I appreciate this stand that Uzziah took to be determined. The first thing he began to do was to repair the house of the Lord and to build up the places that had been torn down and then go out to the enemy after he proved to God that he was sincere. And he was going to take the right stand regardless of what his people around him, his advisors, to influence him to the political side of the kingdom. He would not stand for it. He wanted God, God's will, and that alone. That's the kind of men that we need, the kind of mothers who need the kind of mothers we need, a woman, a mother of this day that will take the right stand and do what's right regardless of what the other women does. Do what's right. So we see from the scripture how that the attitude of Lot living in the gate was such that his own son-in-laws thought he was just joking when he warned them to flee from Sodom. And when he did so, they thought he was just joking. But the Bible says they thought of him as though he were just mocking. That's what the Bible says. And that tells us that his respect and reverence were not what you might call an admirable quality. I've seen parents that won't even attend church because they seem to have nothing good to say about anyone in church. These same people will try to justify their not going by saying, why should I go to church when there are so many hypocrites going there? Well, then who is a hypocrite anyway? The one who is at least trying to come and hear the word of God, or the one who thinks that they are right and don't need to hear the word of God? And as you watch that family long enough, you will see their children go plumb off into gross insanity and immorality. Just look at Facebook today. I don't want you to look at Facebook, but a lot of people you used to know that were believers are no longer believers today, okay? And their attitude affected those children until those children learned to hate all authority and don't even have enough social grace to give respect to anyone, let alone God. They become an island to themselves, and their children are lost because of their own actions. Just like Lot's son-in-laws were lost because of the attitude of Lot. In Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, Brother Branham says, your attitude towards Christ will make a great impression on what your children will be. Your attitude will change the attitude of your children. Your life that you live before your family will make an impression on what your children will be. Are they going to be good mothers? Well, it's because your attitude was good mother. Because the Bible said that he'd visit the iniquity of the parents upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Now, just a few moments before closing, and therefore, if perfection. There's your perfection again. We're by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people receive the law. What further need that there come another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now, the big takeaway, I think, from this message today is not only your attitude, it's a reflection of who you are, but your ability to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Scripture that you looked at years ago, and now you look at it differently, because years ago you missed what the scripture was saying, and you were reading it like a book. I told the brothers in 2004 in Congo, I said, the reason why you're not getting anything from the scripture is because you read it like a book, like a magazine. I said, if you take you take one sentence at a time and think of what God is trying to tell you in that sentence. Stop what you're doing. Just read one sentence or even part of a sentence. And then say, this is the thoughts of God. What is he trying to tell me? It'll completely transform the way you look at the Word of God. And I can say that we in this church have come to the place where we can see things in the scripture that others can't see. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. It shows the pressure's built up. It's built up on everyone. But it's working for us. And our pistons are moving with the ways of God and the word of God. You see? So just keep at it. Keep looking at the word one sentence at a time, and then break down that sentence into one or two thoughts. In Jesus' name, let's just pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this message. We're thankful, Lord, for your people. We're thankful, Father, that we've come to the place that the hidden wisdom of God is revealed to us. And Lord, we see the things that are hidden to the world that are plainly made plain to us. And so we're thankful for that you came down with a shout and you did this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.